มวยไทยคือชีวิต
From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida You are listening to The Striking Corner With Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto Your source for Muay Thai and Kickboxing news worldwide
All right, what is going on, everybody? This is Eric Rivera with the Striking Corner podcast. I'm actually feeling really under the weather today, as you can tell by my voice, so I'm going to keep this intro short and sweet. What is going on, Vin?
Good, good. Are you feeling under the weather, or did you just forget to put your tampon in?
Oh, God, dude. You guys got to fucking go there, huh, man? Oh, man. Always got to be a dick. All right, man. I'm going to let it slide, though, because I'm just feeling real sick. Before we get into our interview, let's just give you our social media handles. You guys can reach me at @Eric_TSC on Instagram. Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on Instagram @VinnyScotto.
All right. So... besides that, guys, you can find us at Striking Corner on Instagram, which is our most active. You can also find us at Striking Corner on Twitter and on Facebook as well. Guys, remember that we also have the Striking Professional brand, our clothing brand, our t-shirts. You can find that at Striking Professional on Instagram. And of course, strikingprofessional.com is the main website. We currently have a coupon code for anybody that is hasn't purchased from us before. So if you are a first time customer, you can use the promo code FIRSTORDER10, and that will give you 10% off your first order. And we're also offering free shipping for all orders over $75. All right, guys, so that's Striking Professional. That is the official brand of Striking Corner. Besides that, we actually have another great podcast today. We have a very accomplished Muay Thai fighter, a very accomplished kickboxer, and now an MMA fighter as well. He's going to be fighting in his fifth MMA fight for Bellator MMA, and we have him on 1 week before his fight. So he is a big name in the fight world, Gaston Dream Killer Bolaños. You guys have also heard him on the Joe Rogan podcast, and, you know, those smaller podcasts that are not as good as ours. So that's it. We have the Dream Killer here on the podcast with us, and I'm feeling like garbage, so let me just jump right in to the interview.
Stop crying.
All right, we'll be back with Gaston in 1 second.
The Striking Corner.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Striking Corner podcast, and as we had mentioned, we have an awesome guest today once again for the third time on the podcast, Mr. Gaston Dream Killer Bolaños. What is going on, man?
What's up, guys? Just happy to be here. Happy to talk to you guys once again.
Yeah, man. So excited because we got you pretty much 1 week out from another big fight for the Bellator organization. In this case, it's going to be MMA, as you are now a three-sport athlete, kind of. That's what you're doing now?
Yeah, I'm doing Muay Thai still. Whenever I can, I catch some fights here and there. I've been doing kickboxing, of course, for them. As you guys, I don't know if you guys catch my last one.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm also doing MMA with them. So, yeah, I'm just trying to do it all, man. Trying to, you know, go out there and just do as many combat sports as I possibly can.
Yeah, it's all good, man. That's what we like to hear. You know, we saw your last fight. Obviously, it was an awesome clinic on kickboxing. With MMA... We don't know too much about your opponent. What do you know about your opponent coming up? Is it going to be more? Is he more of a striker? Is he more of a wrestler? Or what do you know about him?
He seems more like a boxer that's got some wrestling background, and you know. But as we always do, Karen and I, you know, at CSA Gym, we always come with great game plans. You know, that I want to say that most of the times we execute them properly. He's a southpaw as well, so we have a little bit of that in there. So we've been working a lot with a lot of southpaw training partners, so we can get ready for that look, you know, the same look that's going to try to possibly take me down, possibly rush in with some hands and, you know, go straight for the takedown. So we're ready for that. we're ready for all those things that we're going to see next Saturday. So, yeah.
Nice, nice. So, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, because obviously, you know, Gaston is, you're kind of a star now. I would say, you know, you've been on, recently you were on the Joe Rogan podcast with Kieran.
Well, yeah.
Not recently, since he's probably done like a million since then, but, you know, so you were on the show. We got to hear a lot about the backstory, which was pretty cool. I didn't know all that background about Eddie Abasolo and all that type of stuff, which was cool to hear. But, you know, I wanted to ask you because so your first fight in Bellator MMA, you know, you won your fight. Then you had a loss, you know, and then you had a stellar comeback with a year fight, you know, fight of the year. Knockout of the year KO, right? And now, what is this? Is this your fourth fight with Bellator MMA or fifth? What is this?
This is my fifth.
Okay.
3-1. This is my fifth MMA fight with them.
Okay.
And I believe this is my seventh with them total.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Fifth MMA. So I have seventh fight with Bellator.
Nice.
Overall.
Nice.
So, it's pretty good considering that I've only been signed with them for a little over a year and a half. It's busier than most people are out there. So
yeah,
I'm grateful enough for the opportunity to do both combat sports, whether it's MMA or kickboxing. And then on top of that, I have the ability of and the freedom of being able to do some Muay Thai fights, which is originally my first passion when it comes to combat sports. So I am more than grateful with Bellator. They've been nothing but great to me. So you guys know, I started my professional career with Lion Fight doing just Muay Thai. But yeah, it's been a great balance, and it's been great being able to do all three things.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, we do know that you started with Muay Thai, and my question to you is, because I'm sure most people that listen know that I'm not the biggest MMA fan. Are you truly enjoying MMA? Like,
I am. As a competitor, more than anything, more than a fighter, I've been my whole life a competitor. So I've always strived, and I've always wanted to be better at things that I'm not good at. You know, so coming into a new sport such as MMA, although there's a lot of similarities when it comes to, you know, the hands, the feet, the elbows, and everything like that, for a striker much like myself, it's easier to get exposed out there in a world where you can do more than just standing. So, you know, I actually thrive on the opportunity to be able to, you know, get better at things and areas that I'm not so good at, such as wrestling and such as the ground game, which I'm really enjoying. You know, I have great coaching. Alexander Munoz is my wrestling coach from Team Alpha Male up in Sacramento. He comes down here. He's also working with me and Kieran in his striking. Then I have Darren Oyama as my grappling and jiu-jitsu coach, you know. So he's a veteran all to himself. You know, he's fought in Dream. He's fought all over the world. He's fought in the UFC, Strikeforce, all that you can name of. So I'm really enjoying the process, and I have great coaching behind me. And, of course, as you know, the head in this whole – in this whole operation will be carrying, you know, so everything's going well. You know, we're operating smoothly as far as, you know, my training and making sure that I'm getting the proper training and the proper training partner so I can, you know, exceed in MMA.
Yeah.
When was the last time you had a Muay Thai fight?
The last one was with Turan. I believe it was December last year. I got that that body shot. Stopped him with a body shot in the third round. I forget.
Yeah, I have that picture still. I just haven't posted it.
you miss fighting Muay Thai?
I love Muay Thai, man. It's my buddy just last weekend, Ian Escuza, a kid from Peru. He just fought in Arapol last weekend in a little show in LA. Just being around all that, the Muay Thai fans are just completely different than the MMA fans, and you guys can probably completely agree with me on that.
Yeah,
this is a different world, you know, and it's just completely different. And it's just shocking to me how Muay Thai still hasn't, like, I thought we were just right there with Lion Fight, with the Access TV deal and all that, bringing big stars such as Yotz and Clyde to you know, and Cosmo, you know, fight headlining cards in Las Vegas. It was truly great to see, and then it's just sad to see it kind of vanish. Where you don't even know when Lion Fight is happening these days. You know, you find out that the cards is the day of the event. You know, it's kind of crazy to me that we were just like right there. You know, but then I also see like organizations such as like One FC is putting on some Muay Thai events, mm-hmm. not Muay Thai events, but they're putting in hybrid events where they have, I believe they have MMA.
Yeah, they have Muay Thai, MMA, K1.
Muay Thai in the cage with little gloves, yeah. and they have regular Muay Thai and kickboxing. So it's great to see that as well.
Yeah.
And seeing big stars such as Ognjen Topic, Cosmo Alexander was on it, I believe. I believe Petrosian as well.
Mm-hmm.
That fight that Petrosian had with, what's his name? Thai guy that fought for Lion Fight, who was the champion.
Oh, Joe Nutterwood.
Yeah, Nutterwood, yeah.
Nutterwood, that was a great fight, you know? That was a, you know, that was a great matchup as well. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see that it's definitely still out there. Just like here in the U.S., it's just not growing. You know, we have a little bit of growth, and it just goes downhill. It's just sad to see that such an incredible combat sport and art is just struggling so much.
Yeah. Well, I think if you've listened or if you've like, no, you know, if you've seen, if you've heard our show lately, you know, a lot of it's what we're growing now or what they're trying to grow now is definitely in the youth ranks. Definitely is trying to get it, I guess, more from the baseline, from the IFMA style, from everything, trying to grow it from the young side in order to get, you know, the talent pool to be a lot bigger. Because I think what we lacked here in the States for a long time was that talent pool. You know, you have guys such as yourself and Ognjen, and then you have maybe a handful of high level guys. And it was really very difficult for you. You know, I remember very difficult for you to find somebody that was really kind of on your level coming up at the same time as you. I mean, even when you were in the youth, you know, we talked, you guys talked about it on the Joe Rogan podcast, the whole idea of,
I would lie about my age
for
a couple of years, you know,
exactly.
just so I can get more fights because there's just such little events.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's what I'm talking about. It's just like, it used to be like that. And especially like the higher you get in level, the more difficult it is for a lot of these, you know, we're seeing it with people like Janet Todd, you know, these big name fighters that are really great, but they're not able to find the competition here. So the idea is to grow the talent pool from a younger base. And you're seeing that with the youth Muay Thai, how they just did recently.
They got, I don't even know how many medals they got. Like
12,
I can't even,
12 medals, man. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Insane. Absolutely insane. Weren't they like the best team or something like that?
Yep.
That's incredible to see, you know?
Highest win percentage out of the entire tournament and got, like the best team of 2018.
Yeah, yeah. So it's coming up, you know, and it's coming up just like I remember, you know, me and you, Gaston, we used to shoot some messages back and forth and you were telling me it's kind of like what you guys did, like, you know, what your coaches did back in Peru, you know, with the, what is it, F-14 kickboxing, the Muay Thai?
F-14 Academy, F-14 Academy. That's where most of my friends come from.
Exactly. So, you know, they kind of started it from just bringing it from a lot of young guys, and look at where Peru is now. They're one of they're one of the toughest teams to face when people go to IFMA, you know. So
yeah, not only that, like I said, and I think I mentioned it last time, when Kevin and I fought for WMC titles in Peru, there was also a national championship going on.
Yeah.
Peru had 180 people enter that national championship. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. You know, this is just a national championship.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's like for a country that wasn't like, that's probably not, you know, I would say high on the list of countries people would expect to be like a Muay Thai powerhouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I think it is. Everybody that comes from there, at least all the fighters that have gone out there.
Yeah.
I think Gabriel, you've seen Ian now. Ian's really good. You'll see more of him in the future. He's only 22 years old.
Yeah.
Gabriel's brother, myself, you'll see there's a lot more talent coming as well,
yeah,
for sure.
So, you know, I wanted to go back to, you know, going to, you know, so I was reading through your posts on Instagram. You know, you post a lot on the gram, you're, you know, doing a lot of great stuff there, promoting your fights and, you know, your training and everything. So one thing that I was interested in is because I know Kieran, how Kieran's sort of, I really like how he approaches the idea of winning and losing in the fight game. And I know, you know, you're a guy that's had a lot of success mm-hmm. in Muay Thai, a lot of success in kickboxing, a lot of success. And then even in MMA, like you know, you won your fights and you won your first fight and you had a knockout of the year, but you lost one fight. And I remember you said, like, you kind of posted something like, "Hey guys, I'm okay. You know me, I never give up." And then, you know, you're really kind of, you like to post a lot of inspirational stuff and all that type of things. What is your outlook? Like, how was it afterwards to bounce back from a loss? You know, what do you say? Because I think it's very easy for, and it must be, you know, how would I say, your feelings or your emotions when you take a loss like that. Some people don't take it well. Some people, you know, they kind of, it hangs over their head for a long time. What did you do to sort of bounce back? Because you bounced back right away, and now you've been on a good streak. You're doing well. Mm-hmm. You know, I see you're very hungry again. You're very passionate. So how does it? I mean, what goes into that mindset when you took that loss? Like, how much was it, Kiering helping you and also helping yourself? What did you tell yourself after that?
Well, man, it's not, you know, facing a loss, as I said, first and foremost, I'm a competitor, man. And, you know, losing is not fun.
Yeah.
But everybody loses, not just in combat sports, not just in MMA or Muay Thai or kickboxing or whatever. But in any sport, everybody loses, you know. And you got to be able to learn from these losses and learn from and not put your – like, yeah, you're going to hit rock bottom, unfortunately. And that's kind of how it happens. But you got to – I've been lucky enough that I have Kiering, and he helps me pick myself up. But throughout the years as well, I've learned that I need to not internalize these losses again so much and just learn to be able to push past those losses and just understand that's just competition.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, you know, in any given day, you know, especially when you start talking like MMA, it's a little easier. You know, those little 4-ounce gloves are unforgiving. Anybody in any given day can probably beat you if you allow them to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a crazy world when it comes to MMA. You know, those little 4-ounce gloves are the equalizer when it comes to, you know, talent versus, physical talent and what do you call it? And, you know, hard work, all that, like, that's the equalizer right there. So being able to come back from a loss is everything. You know, you got to be able to brush these things off, have a good memory of, yeah, what happened, and being able to learn from the loss and know what the mistakes are that led you to that poor performance or whatever it is. You know, whether it was a full 5-round or 3-round war, or whether you got slept in the first. Wherever it is, you know, you got to be able to not internalize these losses so much and be able to learn from it and just understand that's all it is. You know, Sunday will come next weekend. I might win. I might not win. Sunday will come. I will still be Gaston Bolaños, and the people that love me will still love me. Mm-hmm. And the people that hated me will probably, you know, continue to hate me, you know, and then I'll probably get some, you know, some new fans. It doesn't matter, man. You can't. As long as I do everything that I can possibly do to control how I perform, yeah. And sometimes you can't. That's the thing. Like, it's a crazy world, man. Sometimes you can't control everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you can't. You don't know what's gonna happen. Yeah. But as long as you do everything and you put all your heart and into the training and you prepare to be able to win, or at least you put yourself in that mind frame, you know, it's what else can you do?
Yeah.
You know, maybe what happens? Maybe after wins, I get really sick and I don't show up 100%.
Yeah.
I still, you know, I'm going to be 100% that day, you know, whether it's not my 100% every day in the gym. Maybe in the gym, I'm killing everybody, you know, but maybe that day is just not my day. And especially for amateurs out there, man, like people that are trying to grow in these sport. And like we were just talking about how you win a couple fights, people don't want to fight you anymore. It's like, just go out there and get the experience, man. Go out there and just fight.
Yeah.
It's fighters fight, you know. This is what I was born to do, and this is what I love to do. And like, yeah, you know, like I'm going to lose again. I guarantee it. It'll probably happen.
Yeah.
But fire is still in there, you know. And as long as that fire is still in there and I still want to train, I still want to put everything, my whole soul and all my work into this, then I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
Well, that's you've been so successful because you're not a bitch that's afraid to lose and trying to head the record.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it. I think part of it too is, you know, having had the opportunity to go over there and meet Kyrian and talk to you guys and see how you train. It's crazy because even though Kyrian has this sort of, he's got this way of training. Like, he's gotten he really pushes you hard. He's like, you know, you can't be a bitch when you're around Kyrian. You know, he's gonna push you. You know,
give you the love you need. Yeah. But at the same time, he'll be understanding of what's going through your mind. Like, he'll know if I'm gonna have a bad pad session before it even, like, it happens, man. Like, people's, yeah, and I think, like, when it comes to Instagram, you see a lot of people, nobody posts anything bad about yourself,
yeah,
you know, about themselves. Nobody posts, like, the bad days, you know, but that's why I post all those inspirational quotes, and that's why I post everything that I do, because I know how it is. I know what it's like to, you know, to have shitty days. I know what it's like to not feel 100%. I know what it's like to just, like, nothing works, and it happens.
Yeah.
And, but I, like I said, I'm so lucky that I have a solid team around me that I can bounce back from those days and learn from those. You know, you gotta have the bad days so you can appreciate the good ones.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you this because I know you were just talking about how Muay Thai and MMA fans are very different. And, absolutely, you know, I don't want to shit on MMA because we're mostly a Muay Thai podcast, but we always talk about that. You know, there's a, and it's not to say that there's no shit talking in Muay Thai. There's no shit talking in kickboxing, you know, kickboxing with the Dutch background, those Dutch guys will go at it. You know, you have Badr Hari and those guys will talk some trash too. Yeah. But with MMA, what the thing is that I see, and I think you guys might've touched on it, or Joe Rogan has touched on it and some other MMA podcasts. It's like, the one thing I see in MMA that I sort of dislike, and, you know, you see it with all these big fights, like, you know, with Conor McGregor coming up, all these guys, it's become like it is an entertainment. It's a sport. It's sports, but it's entertainment as well. And then you also have, like, these people that don't know as much because it's mainstream. You have these people that don't know as much about the sport. So it's like, you might be, you know, hell, man, people who know you, and we're talking about, like, guys like myself, like Vin, like everybody that's followed your career when it was Muay Thai and kickboxing, you know, they might know Gaston Bolaños and be like, yo, this guy is a killer. He is a beast, you know, da 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 da, you know, and they're going to talk all this stuff and talk, you know, about you in such a positive way, right? But then it goes into MMA, and then when it goes into MMA, you're going to have a lot of these guys that have never heard of you before. You know, they don't follow you like that. They're just casual fans, right? And then you suffer that loss, and you know how MMA is, man. It's like MMA, you'll see people talk shit when somebody's like, somebody could be 30-0, and then if they lose one fight, it's like they're garbage. You know what I mean? That's how they talk, you know? And I know, like, one thing I noticed is after one of your fights, after you knocked out this dude, I think after in your comeback fight, after the loss, you had a comeback fight, you won that one, then you knocked out this dude with a, you know, the crazy elbow, heard around the world kind of shit. And then you would, you know, you put up your finger and you kind of were silencing the haters. I want to know, where did you feel that those haters were coming from? Was it the MMA world? Was it people in your own life? Like, what was going on there? Because I kind of felt like you fought with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder.
I think people, you know, a lot of people, yeah, they'll be supportive and they'll be, you know, all about you. And like you mentioned, you know, they'll talk about you very highly. And some people just, you know, they just don't want to see other people succeed. You know, I'm not one of those people, you know, but yeah, like I said, you see people just don't want to see other people succeed sometimes. And it's crazy because, like, I personally find happiness to see other people, you know, go out there, follow their dreams and, you know, succeed in that way. Like, especially with teammates and anything like that. I'm not saying any teammates done that to me before, but that's why I do the thing with the finger, because I just want to shut everybody up and be like, you know, like, what? Like, people in general, man, just, it's just about people in general. It's not even about anybody, a specific group or Muay Thai, MMA. It's just in general. People don't like to see other people succeed, and that's sad to me, sad to me, to the people hate because, you know, I don't know, because you're doing something that they can't.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you put them in that same position that you're at, you know, they can do it.
Yeah.
And then nor are they willing to put in the work, you know. So you're mad about something that you're not willing to put in the work for, and because you're not in that position, you know. So it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, and I think that's the sad thing too, because even you know what, man. Like sometimes we talk about Muay Thai, we say how much we want Muay Thai to grow. But at the same time, you know, if Muay Thai and kickboxing grow to that huge limelight, it's going to get that. It's going to get where, you know, there's going to be those people that are going to be haters, like start talking shit left and right. And, you know, it's kind of like you kind of love the fact that Muay Thai is still kind of underground because it still has that like purity to it. But if it blows up big, it's not going to have it anymore. But at the same time, you want it to blow up big because you want the fighters that are putting in all the work to get their, you know, to get their dues, you know what I mean? Guys such as yourself and all that, like,
man, I don't know. Like, I had a little bit of hope with when you had Lion Fight in the past.
Yeah.
And you know, like when that went away, it was kind of like, I don't know, what's next? You know, like, yeah, you have Triumphant now putting some shows on Fight Pass, but like, I think, like, I don't know, man. It's just tough to see that. Yeah, that's gonna happen at some point. You know, like that.
The future and the way everything is headed, you know, with the USMF and the Olympics and all that. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, but that's the Olympics, man. That's a different. That's awesome. But do you have a big sport and like Michael Phelps? Besides the Olympics, what else do you see him on? You know, like, yeah, commercials here and there, but that's a one sport that's been so popular for so long. Yeah. You know, and I hate to sound kind of pessimistic here. But that's one sport that has been so popular for so long. And you have one guy that's broken all the records. You know what? Like, you don't have a swimming league on TV, do you?
It's because it's fucking swimming. It's not exactly. At each other.
Yeah, but you have the stupidest sports in the Olympics and everything, you know, in general. Like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I think Muay Thai needs an organization, like, to do something similar to what happened to the UFC.
You don't think that if it went to the Olympics, you don't think it would get more financial backing from, you know, bigger money people willing to expose it more?
I would certainly hope so. But I feel like people know about it and people know what it is at this point. Like, I feel like less times more than more. And like in the past, it was like, oh, you know what Muay Thai is? Like, no, I've never heard of it. It's like kickboxing and knees. That would be my explanation about Muay Thai always. Like, it's kickboxing with elbows and knees. That's literally. Now it's like, oh, you heard Muay Thai? Yeah, I heard Muay Thai. Like, yeah, I know exactly what it is. But still, I don't know. For some reason, they just don't catch that. Oh, yeah, I want to watch this. This is what I want. I don't know if it's the traditional part with the music or the white crew or the rum boys. I don't know what it is at this point.
Well, you know, I think it echoes a lot with, you know, when we asked Kieran the same thing. Vin, when he was saying, like, it was kind of like with the UFC, it was kind of like, what was the UFC before it was? I mean, the UFC existed a long time before it got big. It had existed for a long time.
But it was that Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner
fight that
made it. I was like, all right, this is it. This is breaking through. You know, this is it.
Yeah.
So what's the fight that we need? What's the.
Yeah. I don't think it was a fight. I think for MMA, it was just a mixture of the right place, the right time, the exposure, with how big reality TV was at the time with, you know, the
Ultimate Fighter.
And, you know, that all happened at like the right moment. I think that's where.
Yeah.
Where
I mean, MMA and
got big.
It's not only that, like, look at like kickboxing right now, like Glory. Like, yeah, we have some viewership, but is it on national television? No. When Bellator kickboxing is on TV, like, not, they don't, the viewership is not that big.
Yeah, it's almost like, and we see, like, that Glory
now at this point, like, Bellator kickboxing, for example, like, yeah, it's not Muay Thai, but that's probably as close as we're gonna get, at least for now. But it still doesn't pick up. Listen, you know, as big as it was with Lion Fight.
I watch Bellator kickboxing and Glory just because I want to support, you know, stand up arts and help them grow.
but I get bored, man. Yeah. People aren't elbowing and they're not clinching and kneeing and catching legs and sweeping. I get bored. I'm to be honest.
I understand, man, because I feel you. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be pessimistic here. I'm not trying to like, but I feel like I've been having this talk for years now.
Yeah, no, I get you, man. I get you. And I heard you on the Joe Rogan podcast, and it was like, and I have to say, man, I was a little bit heartbroken because I was like, damn, man, you know, because, you know, I've known you. We've had you on the show. I've talked to you in person, you know, and I've seen you fight. I've been such a supporter of and you are, yeah, you definitely are passionate with Muay Thai, but I definitely feel like you could tell in that podcast and you can tell right now that you sort of got, I think you got let down. You definitely feels like you got jaded by the fact that you've been doing this sport for so long. I've been putting in so much work. I thought it was going to blow up. I thought we were on the right path, and then boom, like it just falls all over again.
It definitely bums me out, and I'm sure it doesn't just bum me out. You know, like we had Lion Fight putting on shows in Vegas, you know, some in Connecticut, but everything was televised. People, you know, they, not everybody knew about it, but people were able to watch it. Like, you were able to tell, you know, so-and-so you met on the street, hey, tune into Access TV this Friday. I'm going to be fighting on it. Oh, Access TV. Yeah, that's the channel with the concerts, right? Like, yeah, that one. You could do that. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that was a big deal. That, I mean, I think that's a big deal. That's a big part of it, too, is the accessibility of it. And I think, you know, one of these things that kind of bothers me a little bit too is, although I'm on board with the UFC Fight Pass, I'm kind of not on board with it, because at the same time, the one thing with Glory, and I think Vinny, we've talked about this too, is, and you know it, Gaston, is, you know, it's like when Glory comes on, it's like, okay, so this part of the card is going to be on UFC Fight Pass, this part of the card is going to be on ESPN2, and then this part of the card is going to be on ESPN3 like next week, you know? Yeah. So it's like, dude, what the fuck?
You gotta, like, sign up for three things. At that point, I'm just like, I'll just watch the replay, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it makes it difficult for people to follow the fight as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
People need a simple way to watch. I mean, and that's one thing that bothered me about Bellator Kickboxing. I remember I wanted to tune in to the fights. I think when you were on it, and Schilling and a couple of other people were on it, and it was like, oh, I'm like, oh, I thought it was today, and they're like, oh yeah, it is today, but they're broadcasting it next week, and I'm like, oh fuck, man, you know. So,
it's just, for some reason, man, and I think we all need to figure this out. Like, it just doesn't catch on. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. To go back to your question, I that's one. But I enjoy MMA at this point. Like, I'm enjoying, like, being able to use Muay Thai as a background to become a successful striker in MMA, and I plan on continuing to do that. You know, more than anything, I just want to, it's all about my dreams and goals at this point, and I want to be successful. I want to be a superstar. I want to be a world champion, kickboxer and MMA fighter. I want to do those things.
Yeah.
I want to be able to, you know, yeah, show people that's what my background is, and be able to, like, go out there and just showcase my skills, whether it's on, you know, on Bellator or whatever it is.
No, I get you, man, and I understand, because I think you know, on the podcast you talked about how you felt like that was where, you know, your focus was going to be mostly on MMA right now. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that,
yeah,
I mean, obviously you're a competitor, you live off of this right now. And what's really going to be able to pay the bills right now is not Muay Thai, it's not kickboxing. It's going to be MMA, unfortunately, you know. And I mean, I'm not saying unfortunately for me as a traditional Muay Thai guy, and for Vinny and I as guys who, you know, are trying to continue to, you know, we've been in this, you know how long we've been in this. We've been at this, we've had you on many podcasts where, you know, we've been trying to, like, talk about Muay Thai for years, and it's still not picking up. And then you had, you know, you were on Joe Rogan, and we could tell Joe Rogan loves the fucking sport, and he doesn't even know why it's not blowing.
He loves it. He was just as bummed out about the Access TV thing as I was.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, when is it going
to
happen?
That's where he got to watch most of my fights in the beginning, was during the the Access TV days when I was getting all those spinning back elbow knockouts on national television, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What's up, man? You look bummed.
hate to be pessimistic, man.
I don't appreciate your pessimism.
I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm trying to be real.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is. But part of it, I think part of it is definitely, man, I understand where you're coming from. But I think there's a real, at least from what I'm seeing right now, like we were talking about, and you guys mentioned it too, you know, like the USMF and how well they're doing and how they're growing these kids from the baseline. I think really that's the way it's going to go, because right now we just don't have, I think what happens, man, is we don't have the talent pool to generate a shitload of Muay Thai fighters, so much so that there's going to be able to be fights every weekend all the time of a high level, you know. It just wasn't able to do it. And even with Lion Fight, I think it got to a point where it just didn't become sustainable for them to bring these guys over from all the way from Thailand or from Europe or whatever to fight guys like such as yourself. If nobody was tuning in, you know what I mean? If enough people weren't tuning in. And what is it going to take? What is it going to take to get them there? I don't know, man. But the fact is, see, the reason we like bringing, you know, guys like yourself on, you know, is because I feel like you are one of those guys, and I, you know, Joe Schilling at one point too, that he was going to focus more on MMA and all that type of stuff, because it was the same thing, man. He, you know, you guys are competitors. You guys feel like this is where you got to go, you know, but at the same time, the one thing I've noticed is that you still have that Muay Thai passion, that Muay Thai heart. And it's something that I think you push a lot, even when you fight, I mean, people are going to, when, especially with that spinning back elbow, the fact that you got KO of the year, I think is a big deal, because a lot of people are going to look at that and be like, yo, where the fuck did that dude learn that shit? You know? Yeah. And for all of us that know Muay Thai, we can be like, yeah, man, that's a Muay Thai technique, bro. You know, and that's something that, I mean, he's mastered, and it came from Muay Thai. And the thing is, a lot of dudes in the MMA ring probably haven't seen that shit before, and you pulled it off and caught a guy with it, right?
That was a crazy fight for me, emotionally, coming from a previous loss. Then we took two fights pretty much back to back. I had that one December 1st, and then 2 weeks after that, I had the WMC fight with Turan. It was just an emotional time in my life, man. Yeah. Just, you know, it was just like, how, like, after that September fight, man, like, it was tough, man. Exactly a year ago, it wasn't easy to digest a loss like that.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about, you know, losses in general. It was just not an easy one, because, you know, it was a, and then there's a lot of things that led to it in general. But, you know, I was going through a tough time in my life. I was going through a divorce, going through a breakup, going through a lot of things, man, a lot of bullshit that I didn't need to be worried about at that time. But, yeah, that was carrying note. I needed a fight. I needed to fight, you know, because that's what I was born to do. What do you do when you're in the rocks like that and when you're mentally so drained and, you know, bummed out in general? I was just like, I need to fight. And he knew it right away. And like, I, at that time, I didn't want to do the MMA fight. I was scared, man. I was scared, you know, that it would happen again. It happens again. What happens? I go 1-2, you know, I'm supposed to be, you know, to an extent, this next big thing. And then to go 1-2 in MMA, it happens, you know, it could happen to anybody. Like I said, those little gloves are the equalizer in the game of MMA, you know. So I told Karen, like, why don't we just do the Muay Thai fight? We'll do MMA again. We'll get. It's like, nope. He knew. I was like, nope. You need to do it. And sure enough, man, I went in there and, like, for some reason, just was able to pull that off. And like, I always thought, if I can pull a spinning back elbow like that on Bellator, you know, in a big organization, it's gonna be something. You know, it's gonna be all over. It's gonna go viral for sure. And sure enough, man, and I was top five. I was like number five on Sports Center, on TV. I was just, to this day, you know, like 50 Cent reposted it, like so many things, just crazy how it, like, I just knew though, like I knew that if something like that were to be pulled off, you know, and people have pulled off spinning back elbows like that, but I know the how much I mastered this technique, that if I knew if I would land it like that, it will be something.
Yeah. So stay in MMA, become the world champion like you plan to be. That's your goal. Develop millions of followers, get as many as you can, and then come back to Muay Thai. Just dip. Pull them with you to watch you, and then boom. That's the fight that Muay Thai
needs. Yeah. But see, like, it's not only me, though. Like, look at, like, guys like Nick Chastain, like Asa Tenpao. Like, they're all in kickboxing now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're on Glory now. Like, there's just no platform. No platform
has the same amount of fans as Muay Thai.
Yeah,
I think
kickboxing fans are Muay Thai fans. It's just that they can't. In order for them to watch, they have to watch kickboxing. They took it, you know.
The same fans, except for outside, you know, in the U.S. anyway.
Yeah,
you know, kickboxing in other countries has a bigger fan base than Muay Thai. I mean, I could be completely wrong on that. That's just,
well, in Europe, I mean, it has a huge following.
But
in the U.S., yeah, kickboxing. Pretty much everybody who's Muay Thai is going to kickboxing because that's, you know, for some reason, I don't know. I think it's also, I think kickboxing also caters more to the Western mentality and its production and all of that as well. I think that's what Muay Thai needs. And like you were right, Gaston. I mean, I think Lion Fight had that for some time, and then, you know, they dropped the ball. Something went wrong. They couldn't figure out what else to do with the company. And you know, that's unfortunately where we are right now. But I definitely feel like what Vinny says is true. I mean, I'm, you know, obviously you're a hell of a competitor, and your goals in MMA are probably just as lofty as they are in Muay Thai, in the sense that you want to go up there and become a champ. I really do feel like if you can do that, if you can translate that and showcase your Muay Thai and everything, a high level of Muay Thai skill, a high level of Muay Thai striking ability, and showcase it in MMA, you know, and show everybody, hey, you know, like, yeah, I'm a Muay Thai fighter, but I can also do this MMA thing. I think people, I mean, there's been people like, I think the thing is, though, I think there's been people that have done really, that are really good Muay Thai fighters that go into MMA and have done well, but it's still like, you still wonder, but the problem is what still gets big is MMA, not Muay Thai.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, for example, like Edson Barboza, UFC fighter, UFC lightweight.
Yeah.
I think he had like 30 pro Muay Thai fights. I think they're all in Brazil. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But like, he's not considered, like, he's considered somewhat of a Muay Thai fighter, but he's a striker. And that's because even if you are a great Muay Thai fighter, and you can see that in one, you have a lot of like good Muay Thai fighters, it's still a different game, man.
It's
not the same. It's not.
But you know what? I think what one is doing is actually like really awesome. I think that might be, I think that might hopefully. I mean, number one, I think the fact that it's in Asia is also helps them out too, because there's a lot more interest in Muay Thai and in obviously in kickboxing over there than there is here. So saying, okay, we're going to do Muay Thai in a cage, we're going to do kickboxing in a cage, people are going to go for it. I think if somebody like, I think here in the States, if somebody like you, If somebody who was a Muay Thai fighter with a high level pedigree in Muay Thai, like I'm talking guys like yourself, Kevin Ross, Ong Yin, you know, all these guys that have a high level of Muay Thai capabilities, and you guys were to jump into MMA, which you have, let's say, right? And you were to carry the torch for Muay Thai, because, you know, there's a lot of people that in MMA supposedly are Muay Thai fighters, but they weren't. They were strikers, like you said. More so than being really Muay Thai fighters. Edson Barboza, yeah, he probably did Muay Thai in Brazil, but was it, how high of a level did he actually go before heading over to MMA? We don't know. You know, I'm talking about guys who, you know, got WMC titles and things like that and now are going into MMA. I think, you know, if you do really well in MMA, which I know you will, hopefully, you know, us as Muay Thai guys will see, we'll be able to tell other people, you know, that is a Muay Thai guy in MMA. He's kicking ass because he's able to translate his skills from Muay Thai to MMA, and he's also able to learn just enough of the game of the wrestling and the jiu-jitsu game in order to maximize his Muay Thai skills and use his strengths, you know.
Whatever it's really saying is that we're going to piggyback the success off of Muay Thai
on you.
Based on MMA success.
But I think, I think it is already. I mean, everybody knows that that's what it was already. When Muay Thai started growing here, when Lion Fight started happening and all that stuff started going, and we thought it was headed in the right direction, which I still think it is, Gaston. I still think it is going in the right.
I'm not gonna tell you it's not.
It's hit a bumpy road
out there.
Yeah,
it just kind of plateaued a little bit for the time being. You know, it just gotta wait for someone else to come in and try to help out the cause.
Yeah, well, that's you, bro.
Oh my God.
No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah, man. I'm just like I said. I have some high goals right now. There's a Bellator kickboxing. That belt is pretty, man. That kickboxing belt is pretty, man. So we'll see what's going to happen on that.
Nah, man.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, man. And I think you definitely have the talent. I mean, that last fight, you put on a fucking clinic in the Bellator kickboxing ring. I feel like you in MMA, you're going to do well. I mean, you have the talent there, man. You have the
talent. Yeah, that was a tough fight for me, man, because, watching that guy, I believe Kevin beat him over here in San Jose only by split decision.
Yeah.
It was a tough fight, man. Like going into that, I was like, fuck, like that guy just fought Kevin Ross and went to a split decision. It was my teammate, of course, but just like going through that mentally was like, okay, I got to be on my A game for this. I got to be able to like do what I do best. And we knew the guy was a heavy, heavy puncher. We knew he had some good boxing, and the game plan all along was to shut down his boxing, be able to hit him and pick him apart from the outside, get him when we needed to get in, use the clinch somehow as much as we could in kickboxing, and then just give it to him for three rounds, but not get outscored, which is, it can be really easy with somebody that's got a lot more of a kickboxing experience than you do. It ended up being a good fight and a good night. So I was, I'm happy for that. I'm excited to see what's to come with kickboxing, because I've also found some passion doing that as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. And they're doing, I think they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, but they're doing it. Is it because they're linked up with, what is it? Are they linked up with the Octagon promotion out there? Like the Italian one, that's why they're doing them out there?
Yeah, I believe that's why it's been happening like that. Yeah. But it's been great, man. The atmosphere.
Yeah, that last one looked good, man. That last one.
Yeah, it was a great event. It was a huge event.
Yeah, I'm just bummed out they do them in Italy, because I don't really like Italy that much.
Yeah. I wonder if like there's any.
I'm sorry, Vinny's Italian, man. So
shows, maybe I wonder if they can start putting on like all kickboxing shows here that they don't necessarily need to be televised. Maybe so, like they just put on kickboxing shows.
Yeah, I mean, so what do they do? They do them like half MMA and then half kickboxing.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And yeah, but it's so crazy to me because then they air the kickboxing portion like a week later, or they did it for one of those. They've done it that a couple of times.
Yeah, like actually, I think both of the ones that I fought at were like tape delayed, but they weren't delayed like too much. So it just delayed a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's. I mean, I hope it continues. I mean, Bellator's doing a phenomenal job though with kickboxing.
Scott Coker is a mastermind, and that's how he started. They started with the Strike Force K1 shows back in the day when Dong Sinan was fighting on them, Alex Gong was on them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. That's why I kind of have a, I do feel that there is, how we talk about how kickboxing or Muay Thai, in the sense, Muay Thai needs promotion, how it needs that, like the right fight, or the right promotion behind it. And I feel like Bellator, when they started moving into kickboxing, I actually felt pretty pumped with it, I don't think it's where it should be yet, but I really hope it's getting, and the same thing with ONE, man. ONE is run by a Thai guy, that has a lot of experience in Muay Thai as well. And it's he knows that MMA puts butts in the seats, but he also knows that he can use that to get Muay Thai and kickboxing up. And that's what I think a lot of us know, that that because MMA blew up and it was just that lightning in the bottle. I remember Kieran said that it was just like, why did it happen? Why did MMA get to where it got so quickly? And it's just, as Vinny said, right place, right time. It was just the right time for it to do it. And it was able to do that and explode in popularity. And now all these sports, Muay Thai and kickboxing, are trying to use the platform of MMA to get up there in the same, basically to have the same reach. And I think they can, but it's going to take like, it's going to take a one fight or one fighter.
You know, one thing that I think is that there's too many fucking promotions, man. There's too many. Everybody's trying to fucking open a fucking McDonald's over here.
Yeah.
And there's just too many promotions. You know, we need to like have all these guys sit down and just have one fucking promotion. We'll have a kickboxing division and a Muay Thai division. And that's how you put eyes on the whole thing. You know, you have K1, one Bellator, or Glory. We have everybody just put all their fighters in. We'll make it like the Muay Thai or the kickboxing Premier League, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of what K1 was. And that, I think that's why it was so popular, because it was the only one that was putting something like that out there.
Yeah, yeah. And I miss those days, man. I miss those days so much when I think about it. It's like, even though it wasn't Muay Thai, but it was just like everything was, I mean, when you watched K1 Max, man, that shit was another level, bro.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like, what happened to those days, you know? And it's just like, and I do feel that too. I feel like we do need one promotion. There's going to be a bunch. You're always going to have a bunch of small, like, feeder promotions, you know, in order to get.
No, I agree with that. And yeah. I can see that. But we don't have, like, you have Glory, of course. They're doing, like, the bigger thing as far as kickboxing. Now you have one over there. And now you have Bellator kickboxing. So there's, like, three different things going on. Like, and then you have also K1. And then what is that other Crush or whatever? Yeah. You have like so many things going on that I don't think anybody knows what's what. Like if you're just being like back then, if you were introduced into, you know, kickboxing, you would go straight into K1, correct?
Yeah.
Now it's like, what do you even watch? You didn't even know what to watch anymore.
Well, I mean, I do think there are two big ones pretty much for kickboxing, which are Glory and Bellator, and one, but one is new out of the three, you know. Because these other ones that are happening, but see, this is the thing, man. None of them have caught on in America, and that's what we're talking about. I mean, we're trying to promote Muay Thai and kickboxing here in the U.S. I mean, overseas, it's blowing up. You know, it's big, and it's always been big, but where it doesn't seem to be taking off is here. You know.
Yeah, and then you have the Lion fight going on in Ireland, October 13th. Eddie is on it. Yeah. Chris Mosseri is on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like it's just like. It seems like overseas everything is just fine and people know about it and people will go, but it just doesn't seem like it's catching on over here. I don't know what to tell you on that.
Vinny's like, why are you being so pessimistic, bro?
Killing me.
killing your vibe. Oh my god. Yeah. But yeah, man. I just hope that, you know, we can have that organization again that brings it back up, and we'll be able to get that TV deal or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when people have shows, you know, whether it's from Glory or from Belt, or, you know, like you tune in and you watch and you're like, okay, like ratings are going up and things are getting better. And like, okay, let's make a show happen now.
Yeah.
And that's how it builds, you know?
So like if in a perfect world, Gaston, if that were to happen, is that where you would turn to? You would turn to that? Or would you still do MMA, kickboxing, everything?
Honestly, man, I think I mentioned in the podcast, I used to want to just be a striker. But like I said, first and foremost, I'm a competitor, man. And I'm finding success and I'm finding happiness and passion doing MMA as well. So the better MMA fighter I can become and the more I can do that, then yeah, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it makes sense. I mean, if that's your thing, if competing, if you're so, I think that's, and I've seen that in other people too, is that, you know, you get to a point. I have a friend who does Muay Thai, but he started doing jiu-jitsu, and it was like he pretty much was he's a high level Muay Thai fighter, and he does a little bit of jiu-jitsu, and it was like for him it was just eye opening. He's like, I'm not trying to do MMA or anything, but kind of going back to square one and being like, oh shit, you know, I'm kind of lost on the ground.
You get exposed.
Yeah, like for him, that was like a new thing, you know, like a whole new avenue to explore after years of focusing on Muay Thai. And he's not like he's giving up on Muay Thai. That's what his first passion. But he was just like, it keeps me sometimes like, I think you can get burnt out too from doing so much Muay Thai all the time, striking. He said that sometimes it was like, it's like a release to be doing something completely different where he's no longer expected to be the badass anymore because now he's learning, you know, he's learning this aspect, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. So
I agree with that. And I see that point, of course, because, you know, you do something for so long, for so many years, like in my case, I've been doing Muay Thai since I was 12. That's almost like 14, 13 years of my life. And, you know, you get introduced into something completely different, some completely new, even kickboxing. It's a different pace, it's a different range. It's completely different. So like I said, I'm just really enjoying it. I'm not finding myself to be burnt out from one thing by being able to do other things in other combat sports.
True, true. Nah, man, it all makes sense. So before we let you go, man, we just we got a couple of fan questions. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to, you know, throw those your way before. So one of the first questions was from at Primal Jedi. He goes, what do you do for strength and conditioning outside of your martial arts training, if any? And what is your, I guess, that's two questions, I guess, because he said, what does your rest and recovery regimen look like?
Mm-hmm. So outside of obviously all my training that I do, I run. I do sprints, and I also do some sort of, you know, you can say CrossFit or, you know, any kind of circuit or anything like that, that it, sometimes it involves combatives and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm always doing mixing it all up. You know, I do the long distance running. I also bike a little bit, long distance biking, you know, just keeping the heart rate at, you know, under 150 BPM. Then I'll do, you know, the hard sprints and heel sprints and stuff like that. And I also do, I'll do the same thing when it comes to circuits and when it comes to like workouts. You know, I have some different workouts with combatives that are longer than others and they don't have as much rest. And I have some that are just like 3 minute rounds or like 2 minute rounds and they're like, you know, maximum effort, maximum output. So I mix it up all around. And but at the end of the day, you just got to find what works best for you. You know, I've met people that they don't even run and they have no problem gassing out in fights.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what works for me, and that's what I'm just going to keep doing then, you know?
Yeah. And what about your, you know, because a lot of people talk about training and whatnot, but there's also got to be a lot of focus, I guess, on rest and recovery. And his question was, like, what do you do to recover, to rest up? You know, do you?
I always pick one day of the week. I always have one light day during the week, a day that where I'll wake up late. I'll do a little something here and there, break a sweat, and then, you know, just do something else. And then I'll have one day where I completely just don't do anything at all. No active rest, no active nothing. Just stay at home or, you know, do something completely different just to, you know, be able to do something that doesn't involve anything to do with the gym.
All right. So we got another question here. Well, he actually wrote a couple of questions. At Daniel Thorne, he said, what made you decide to start training as a child was one of his first questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I mentioned before in one of our podcasts, my dad was doing Muay Thai when I was very young. I think I was like 11 or 12. And then I just started going to the gym with him. And then before I know it, I was just kind of fell in love with the sport. I just found myself getting ready to train for a fight. So it just kind of happened like that. And I was good at it. And I love how I felt when I was doing it. And I love the confidence that came out of it as well. No, when I was a kid, I would get in a lot of fights and I would get into, you know, a lot of brawls and stuff like that. So that kind of also calmed me down and helped me just relax.
True. So, you know, also one of the questions here, and I'm actually interested in this too, because I know I know that besides Muay Thai and besides MMA and fighting and everything, one of your big passions is surfing.
Yeah.
So yeah. You, one of the questions there was, What is your favorite spot to surf in California?
In California, Santa Cruz, all day. There's a lot of spots within Santa Cruz, but if we're talking about just a region in general, mm-hmm. it'll be Santa Cruz for sure.
True. And outside, have you ever traveled to surf? And
I've been all over the world as far as surfing goes. And I just, anything that has warm water, man, and I don't have to put a wetsuit on. And good waves. Good uncrowded waves.
Yeah. And any spot been your favorite, one of your favorites around the world?
I love going to the Mentawai's in Indonesia. That was awesome.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. All right. And last question. This is from your buddy and another badass, Mo Davis.
that's my dude right there. Yeah. I'm waiting for him to come back, but he's 220
pounds. How does your hair stay perfectly in place during and after fights?
Well, I got that Suavecito pomade, man. Their stuff is really good. It's really good. They hooked me up with some here and there, but it really works. Nice. People ask me that more times than you think.
Believe it or not, and they also ask you know who they ask Onion that all the time too, because I think Onion's known for, like, he's always fixing his hair like during the fight. Hey.
perfect hair, perfect fight.
Nice, man. All right, bro. Well, it's been a pleasure again to speak with you, man. We wish you nothing but the best. As always, you know, Vinny probably is a little heartbroken that...
Vinny, I'm sorry to bum you out, man.
But, you know, he's going to... He wants you to keep doing Muay Thai things in the MMA cage, bro, and kicking ass, bro. And, you know,
You know, the year's not over yet. I have a fight next, but you know, who knows? Maybe we'll get another Muay Thai fight in before the year's up. Who knows?
Yeah, man. But no, man, we wish you nothing but the best in your upcoming fight. Your fight is this Saturday, correct? Well, this podcast
Saturday is... 29. Yeah. We have who's headlining? Is Rory McDonald and Gegard Mousasi. Mousasi's a great striker, man. He trains with Jorina Bars all the time.
Yeah.
I see videos of them training all the time. That's a great fight.
That is a badass fight. That is a great fight. Yeah. So you're going
to
be
great right there. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. So good luck at Bellator MMA. It's going to be, what is this? Is that 206? Is the one you're on, or 205?
I believe it's 206. I think 205 just happened. Yeah. 206.
So 206, and that's going to be in San Jose, California, right?
San Jose, California, yeah.
All right, guys. So watch out for that. That will probably air, what is that, on Paramount? Paramount is where they do it usually?
Yeah, it should be on Paramount Network, yeah.
Okay, so guys, watch out for that. That is Gaston Dreamkiller Bolaños. Listen, guys, he's a badass fighter. We love him to death, man. And, you know, keep it up, bro.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Nah, man, always. All right, guys, so that was Gaston Dreamkiller Bolaños, who will be fighting this Saturday for Bellator MMA in San Jose, California. And we wish him nothing but the best. Once again, it was an honor to have him on the podcast. And I'm actually kind of happy that he was bumming Vinny out a little bit. So, you know,
why?
Because I know you want him to continue doing Muay Thai, and you have such a disdain for MMA that it bothers you to see him do it. Everyone should do Muay Thai, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah, man. But, you know, fortunately, the money isn't there right now. So some guys got to make a living, bro. Got to make a living.
It's only about money. Right, bud?
I know. It's not only about money, but if you're making your life as a competitor, that's what you got to do, bro. So once again, man, thanks to Gaston for being on the show. And that's pretty much it, guys. Like I said, not feeling too well, and Vinny's going to keep giving me shit for crying about it. And I am just going to end the podcast pretty much right about now. All right, guys, so remember that you can find us at strikingcorner.com, which is our main website. Also at Striking Corner on Instagram, at Striking Corner on Twitter, and at Striking Corner on Facebook. Just to let you guys know, we are most active on Instagram, so follow us there. As for me, you can catch me at @EricRivera_TSC on Instagram. As for Vinny, check him out at Vinny Scotto on Instagram. And that's it, guys. That's all we have for this week. We will have another great guest in another 2 weeks. We once again always want to say thank you for listening, and thank you for all your support. Please, if you can, If you are still listening to us right now, you're a real champ. So definitely, guys, if you can, head over to iTunes, give us a rating, give us a comment, help us, you know, rise up the ranks there in iTunes and iTunes podcasts. That really helps us out. And that's about it, guys. So once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the Striking Corner. Talk to you guys again soon.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more Muay Thai and kickboxing content. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Striking Corner.